down. 10. 9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2. 1.
You're listening to the TSL Podcast with your host, me, Joe K, and my co-host, Becca Dominici and Garrett Biesing, sometimes Jeff Kroll, maybe we'll get Topper's body in here at some point, probably doubtful, and you, the TSL Universe. This is your one-stop shop for everything TSL, all the games from last week, some cool happenings, and some fun stories. What do we got today? Well, let's find out.
Right. It's like, our game is okay, but then every time you turn around, you just hear them cheering and going nuts some more. And you're like, wow, this sounds like a really close game. And it just wasn't.
Jeff May did a good job of keeping it.
Keeping it simple?
Yeah, I just saw some anger.
You saw anger?
Yeah.
In the TSL, are you crazy?
Yeah.
That sounds ridiculous. You're just going through all the snacks.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You're just really, you're like fiending. You're
I'm really, so hungry.
I love it.
I didn't eat lunch.
It's all right. And welcome, everybody, to the TSL Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Joe K, joined by Doreen, and coming in the clutch in, like, the waning second, what is it, like, 3 o'clock I asked you to come on the podcast?
Yeah, a little bit late.
George Lombardo is here because, well, he can't be at the gym right now because, you know, some of his bones aren't together.
Sad face.
Well, yeah, we tried really hard to get lots of guests, and many people let us down. But I don't really blame them because, well, we're doing it on a different day. There was a holiday. That's why we're recording on Tuesday. We're really trying to make it work here. So it'll be more of a subdued podcast, but that's A-okay. George, I'm starting with you because, well, you're the new guy, even though you've been here a million times. But, yeah, so you're broken. How you doing with all that?
All right. Like I tell everybody now, it's the same conversation. It's just annoying now. I feel normal, and then I do something. I'm like, oh, wait. No, I'm not.
Right. So you broke your what now?
Just shattered my collarbone.
Shattered sounds bruised. Like it's in 80 pieces. It wasn't just snapped at least?
It was over an inch in between the two bones that are missing.
Jesus. So it sounds shattery.
I got a rod with like 8 screws in, and then my whole left side ribs, all of them were bruised, and I got a nice concussion. It's a fun time.
Yeah, but that's just another concussion for you. What's that, like number 30?
I don't know. The last two CTE. Were pretty rough.
CTE is coming in strong here.
There was a game, and I don't know which one it was that I was playing for, but there was a, Hail Mary pass, and I was in the end zone, and I ran in the other direction because I was just thinking of George the whole time. Like, I was just like, I am not going to get crushed.
Well, I mean, George definitely jumped over
you
like
jumped
12 people
so
and came down. I don't think you're jumping
out.
Over the entire pile, and if you do, that'd be awesome.
Please.
Dory just jumps over 7 people. Pick.
I would do that for like a beer toss to me, but not the ball.
Not the ball.
No, I've done it to multiple people on my team where I've run through them by accident. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Right.
Go for the ball.
Hell, you've run through people on other teams, if I recall.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, and Kylie's another one that couldn't make it today.
Anyway.
What? It's not like she couldn't walk here. She's just a volleyball.
Another bone that snapped.
Right. Yeah, you've had some great luck with that. Drink more milk, people, as Ramir used to say.
Oh, yeah.
Drink milk.
Drink milk.
I love
Eat
it.
A sandwich.
So you've been doing to pass the time?
Legos.
Seriously?
Seriously. I've been buying Legos and just building Legos.
What's your favorite one? Like, did you do like a Millennium Falcon or something?
I have a tuxedo cat that's like...
A tuxedo cat.
Pretty big.
That's adorable.
It took me a while.
How many pieces?
It was way over 1,000.
Oh,
it was awesome.
And like, Legos are not what they used to be.
No,
like,
they're
complex. When you think of like 1 inch long and like that's it, these things are like intricate. They're tiny. So when you drop them, people are like, oh, I hate when you like step on a Lego. I would do anything to be able to find my kids' Legos by stepping on them.
And
they're
so
small.
When you have a cat that likes to see things and he's like, oh, this one looks good. I want to take this one. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, wait. All right, well.
That's the end of that one. We'll find it again later.
Legos. That's the nerdiest thing I've ever heard you
say.
But
it's so boring. But it's
dork.
So fun.
But also cool.
Right. But at the same time, you're like one arm. So I guess like that's why you really could do at that point.
I hang out with my cats. That's about it.
It's better than the other answer you probably could give.
Yeah, everyone else goes that way. You still doing that? No. Leave me alone. Just go away.
That's why I'm so sad. Leave me alone. There's nothing else to do. So we had another day of football that wasn't great weather-wise. It wasn't terrible compared to some of the other weeks, but
I feel like it was way better than anything we've had, though.
Except for wasn't there one good week? Didn't we have a good week?
Yeah, the first week. The first week. It wasn't bad.
No, you're crazy. The first week was freezing.
Yeah, he doesn't remember the first week. He had a concussion.
I also got injured at 10:30 in the morning.
Okay. Yeah, so everything was crazy towards that day. I thought there was one kind of warm week. I can't remember, but it feels like every week is windy or rainy or both or just chilly, and it's like, ugh.
Don't look at Saturday's forecast.
No, come on, really?
I don't care.
It's supposed to be fucking June, George.
It went from, it was going to be like mid-60s to now it's mid-50s.
I'm fact-checking this in real time. Because it's going to be my loser of the week ahead of time, if that's the case.
Whether you're in trouble. You're on notice. I love that. It just, yeah, I don't know. It hasn't been the greatest of seasons in terms of weather. Everybody kind of agrees with that. Nothing we could do about that, unfortunately.
Oh, sir.
Unless we get a dome, but that's not going to happen.
Oh, right.
That's going to say that voice is Doreen definitely.
It's 58 degrees and raining. All right. It's 44% chance of rain.
But I think that doesn't mean.
It's 40% of Buffalo.
Yeah. It doesn't mean 44% chance. It means that 44% of the city will get it.
Yeah.
Which is. I still think a lot of people don't know that.
That's
yes.
That's not how that is.
That is how that is.
It is.
You're both nuts.
Yes,
what'd
but
you do
also,
to my dog?
Nothing yet, but pickles. But yeah, no, that's actually what it means. When you read like 44%, it means it's going to rain, but like on 44% of the city.
I'm going to fact check that later.
Go ahead.
TikTok taught us all.
That's actually, I think, where I learned it from.
I was
going to
say, that's probably why you're wrong.
That's a good argument. All right, good point.
TikTok doesn't lie. What?
Well, like, I'm so old. Like, I just like.
Yeah, you wrote the Farmer's Almanac.
I supersede based off of that. Like, this is how it's always been.
She still has a sundial out here in her backyard. That's how she tells the time.
Truth. Because none of my watches work.
I love it.
None of mine actually work. I'm literally wearing one that doesn't work.
Why do you wear a watch that doesn't work?
Because I'm way too lazy to get batteries to change them.
But why wear it? What's the point then?
I can't not have something on my wrist.
Really?
It's a weird thing. I don't know why.
You're like Natalie Wood. Okay, see how old I am? Everybody fact check that.
How about you just tell me who the fuck Natalie Wood is?
You don't know who Natalie Wood is?
Did I ask? Either. Yes, so no, I don't. What?
Wait, you don't either?
No, this is how old you are. Now please explain to us who Natalie Wood is. So. Dynamite podcast. Let's go.
She was one of the most like famous actresses. Fair of enough. Like, yes, she was the little girl from, like, the original Miracle on 34th Street, like, the black and white version.
Okay, this explains why I don't know what you're talking
no,
about.
No, but then she was in Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Thank you. Hi, small child.
Other small child.
Oh, here's Miles from Miles on It.
I heard he was playing a little bit.
Yeah, he had a couple passes that he
and
went
I
out there for.
Scored on you.
He
well, the
did.
Way that Bull well, Cubs roster's falling, we might need
yeah,
to add
well, something. Add it to the futures list at this point. Well, let's get into that, though. How about you give me the scores real quick and Miles gives his rundown.
Okay, how about this? All right, 9 o'clock, Breakfast Club. We have D's Nuts, 30, against Miles on It, 21. Suck it. Reincarnated, 48. To Malicious Minx 14 and Sit on My Face 41, Gen X 36.
That's right. As you may have heard in the background, young Miles was able to say something that most people in the TSL over the last couple decades have said. They have scored on Doreen. So,
because of
added another new hey,
because of all my defense.
Right, correct. Mm-hmm, first blood to the list. anyway, Miles, why don't you give me the report, man? What happened? How did you score on your mom?
She slipped.
She slipped? Don't give her benefit of the doubt. Did she train you to say this beforehand?
No.
You say you just made a great play.
Closer.
Yeah, you got to get into the microphone.
She slipped on the mud.
Slipped
I'm
in the
that.
Mud.
But she it was because I think it was because he juked really well.
And that's what I thought happened. Yeah.
He had a good move on me. Tried to, you know, overcompensate and
so
slipped.
Obviously, we have to semi-explain how he got into the game. So why don't you give me the story of what was going on?
Yeah, so Miles was here. We did our draft for our Breakfast Club here, and one of the – it was Steph, actually.
Yeah, Steph
couldn't make it. Yeah, and so she asked somebody else, and they were late, and then there was, like, a whole thing with somebody had to be at dinner at 7 o'clock, so we were all stressing out, and Jeff Kroll went, well, how am I supposed to do this? That's going to be fair. So he literally looked at Miles, who was just standing there watching all of us, and he goes, want to draft a Breakfast Club team? So my 10-year-old son sat down, and he goes, How do I do this? We told him once, and then he went right to it, and he had the first, well, you know, drafted like kind of like in a specific order, but he had two in a row, and he drafted Derek Pugh and Tammy, Mom.
Yep.
The meatloaf.
That's right.
But then he also, and he, I mean, got John Costas, and he did well with that. And so, yeah, it was pretty cool. He just sort of went down the list. He did a great job, and I'm proud of him. But it's funny because then he showed up because it's been crappy, as we were discussing, right, with the weather. So we decided
you said a bad word.
Yes, that's crappy is the worst thing anybody has ever heard me say in this whole league.
I know.
Mm-hmm. My little angel.
Cheers to that.
So it was finally somewhat nice enough. So he came out and
supported the team.
And it was really cute because they put him in for a few plays. And then they put him on me on defense. On
so
an
you
extra
willingly
point.
Allowed an illegal player to play is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yep. See
I'm
what
not
I.
Illegal.
You are illegal. I've told you. You're too young to be, and you're not on the roster. But
I mean, you're.
But your
team is named
so.
After you. But yeah,
I am co-captain.
So actually, does that mean that you guys actually won? Because that means the other team would have to be forfeited.
No. Again, the glory and beauty of Breakfast Club is that we can do ridiculous
when
stuff.
When it
like
comes
that,
down to
cares.
Who's in first or second place by points or something, you might want to come back to it.
I don't think it's going to be a problem. But,
yeah. It was actually really cute, too, because at one point they, you know, we did the extra point and he scored the extra point. And then, are you supposed to be going? Yes.
And he's got to take off.
He's got to take
off.
He's
a busy man.
He's got batting cage practice.
His backup sport.
Yeah. But it was cute because B goes, we'll take that point off. We'll take that point off.
And then it's an earned point.
Yeah, I was like, nah, don't worry about it. And then we get to the end, and they put him on me,
right,
you know, for defense, for the extra point, and then I scored the extra point easily, obviously, because, of course, I'm not going to, like, let my kid defend me.
That's the correct answer.
So I like, literally stood over him.
I love it.
And I was
no,
like,
yo! Now we're even. That's how you parent. You just don't let him win.
Don't let him win. They got to earn that
shit. It's
got to
be earned.
Yeah.
Did you slip? He said you slipped. Was he being nice to mom?
Oh, I did slip, but I did it on purpose.
Oh,
I slipped
you did like
on purpose.
A jokey slip?
Yeah.
Oh,
but okay. I sold it well enough that he really did think I slipped.
I mean, considering, again, what we were saying before about the fields always being freshly watered, I guess you could say, it wouldn't have surprised me.
Renee's doing a great job.
She really is.
She's watering the fields.
Our grounds crew, Renee Lance, and that's it. She's killing it.
She doesn't need to water it. It's been nonstop freaking raining. It's awful. But
I looked into how much it costs on average to like level your backyard.
Mm.
And a regular backyard is like anywhere from $1,500 to like $3,000. So I'm not sure how many backyards the field
Renee gets to play for free for the rest of her life.
I didn't check for like Renee's prices. I just meant like in general on average. So maybe that's going to be like the GoFundMe. Maybe if everybody if everybody just donates an extra X amount and we just raise enough money to level the fields out in the back, that'd be really cool.
So is she the one who cuts it and everything too?
No, she doesn't do it. No. The contract,
like, the whole,
assuming that everything's still the same from the Topper regime, which I'm pretty sure it is, that is part of what we pay the Rose Garden to do. So
yeah.
They're supposed to be in charge of painting the lines and cutting the grass. So they do all that stuff. Obviously, they can't always cut the grass because of how much rain there's been, so it's not really on them.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than the weeks we've gone there and the grass is ankle high and we know that it's been just scorching for the whole week. And then it's kind of like a what the fuck thing, but
dandelions everywhere.
I think
goose shit
doing,
everywhere this week.
They've been
week.
Pretty good on, yeah, that I noticed too. But I think they've been pretty good at keeping up their end of the bargain this time around.
Yeah, you got to play on field five.
Well, field five is always usually brutal, though, because wherever
it's just,
it goes.
No, it's like it's never mowed and there's dandelions everywhere and stuff like that. So that's the one.
Yeah, I mean, that could go into the gardening fee for every team that we just add on next year. It's going to be $500 a team next year. It's fine.
Yeah.
But that extra $50 is not going to a forfeit fee. It's going to go to a weed and feed fee.
Yeah.
And just take out the dandelions, level everything out.
Finish the dome.
Well, that isn't on us. The Topper Dome will be built allegedly at some point, but we've been saying that for 4 years? No.
I'm just going to use it to build a house
like
at this
it
point.
Was. By COVID, it was like 2020, wasn't it?
No, it happened. It came after that, though, for sure. Like, because we definitely didn't have any of that stuff there for COVID and whatever. But it's been at least 2.5 years that stuff's been sitting there, maybe 3 at this point.
Annoying.
Just getting rusted. I'm sure they're going to start building it. And I feel like the materials that have been hanging out in the elements for so long are just going to be like rotted. And fucked up or something. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, anyway, so this game was fun. They were great sports, and like I said, let Miles play a couple, and his little face was... But then, of course, after that, then he was stuck with me for the rest of the morning, and I kept running on to different fields to play for... And I,
that's true.
Every poor single...
Kid. Sit here and watch.
Yeah, and then he was like, can I play on this one? Can I play on this one? I'm like, no, these are real games.
Yeah, because you filled in for us in the next hour, and he was there, like, half reffing.
Yeah.
Like, he was over on the side with Frank reffing and stuff like that, so that was fun.
Threw the flag a couple times, and people were like, what's that for? We're like, never mind.
Don't worry about it. Just go with it, okay? It's kid. Have a good time. Yeah. So Reincarnated 48, Malicious Minx 14. Reincarnated is one of the two undefeated teams in Breakfast Club still. Malicious Minx gets their second loss. It's basically, we have two 4-0 teams, two 2-2 teams, and then two 0-4 teams. So pretty segmented there in Breakfast Club this time around. Yeah. But as we've learned, anything can happen, obviously, in any game, but especially in Breakfast Club, because you know how many times people miss games, or they're late, or they're just, you know, whatever. Or, I just can't make breakfast. Yeah, well, hungover is a big, big one. So the playoffs are always something different. But, I don't know, getting the bye week is always a big deal just for, you know, people always, if you have the people who miss on Breakfast Club stuff, you don't get kind of, it's one less game to get boned on, essentially. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, we could have won the championship, but, you know, four people had a weird wedding in Sarasota where they had to go. Like, that'd suck. So... whatever. Breakfast Club, again, is the best, and everybody should be joining it. I don't know why they don't. Sin on My Face, 41. Gen X, 36. My team, Sin on My Face, we won again. It was close. I guess Gen X went up like 22-0 really quickly, and then...
You guess, because you were late?
I was super late.
Oh, of course.
Listen, like I've told everybody a million times, if I have one flaw as a human being, it's being on time. And honestly, like, when you come from Dunkirk, now... if you're like 10 minutes late, you're just fucked. You can just eat the snacks. You don't have to be like quiet about the bag opening. But it sucks if like all of a sudden you get like stuck at home for like 3 extra minutes and it's like, fuck, I gotta go. And now there's a whole bunch of construction and stuff too. So it's like probably 2 or 3 different spots where you gotta like slow down so you can't just hammer 85, 90 miles per hour the whole time. I still got there in like 40 minutes, which is 20 minutes off the suggested time to get in there. So... it was still pretty good, but at that point, like, I had 4 games that I was going to play this week, and I'll mention, I didn't play in much of them. I know, like, that was the norm for a long time, but I've been playing more this year because, you know, the whole weighs a whole person less thing, but my sister's wedding's this week, and I've been like, oh, I'm going to play all my games, I'm not scared of anything, blah, 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 and then for some reason that day I was like, I'm going to blow out my knee the week before my sister's wedding, she's going to fucking kill me. So all of a sudden I didn't want to, like, play as much, and, like, unless, like, I had to, or, you know, because... obviously, Bullet Club had 2 games, so that usually means 2 people are going down, so I'll have to play more. But they didn't. We survived. That's pretty cool. But so what is the truth?
So are you not playing this Saturday, then?
No, I'll be in Richmond. I got to go. My sister's getting married, so I'll be doing that whole shebang.
Missing the stunts game.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, you guys shouldn't need me for that, right?
Listen, man, we would need you.
I know. It would be fun. Look, it's not my fault. Jeff scheduled it this way, okay?
Everything's Jeff Cole's fault.
Obviously. So either way, like I said, we went back and forth a bit. Sin on My Face took the lead late. We shut them down so they couldn't tie it. Easy peasy win. It was a good comeback. Our team's really good. I really like that. When our girls, because we talked about this before in Breakfast Club too, there were a lot of girls in the draft whose names nobody fucking knew.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, I don't know who any of these people are. What the shit?
Facebook and profile looks pretty nice.
Well, you make that joke, but there was a time for drafts. I don't think you experienced this, Doreen, but there was definitely a time Jeff would go through and find everybody's Facebook profile pic.
Yep.
So at the very least, people could read a name and be like, oh, that person, I know that person, or this person, I don't know at all. Mm-hmm. So be like, oh, this person's short, we're out of here, you know, that type of shit. But he stopped creeping people on Facebook, probably because he had a kid and that set him back a bit, but that's okay. I guess I'll call them our two randoms, but I don't mean it that way. But we knew what we were getting out of Sid and what we got out of Paige from Balls Deep because we've played with them before. We know who they are. But I had no clue who the other two girls, Megan and Emma, who they were. Kind of ballers, man. Emma's made some really, really cool catch. I know John kind of mentioned it on his podcast too where he got them confused, but they both make plays consistently.
Yeah.
Like interceptions, catches, like really good hands on both of them. They listen. They know routes. So like... shout out to them, like, because they're sort of like my surprises of the season, just because I didn't know who they were. And I've said it before, Breakfast Club, a lot of times you win it just because you really hit the lottery on your late round picks. And we definitely did, because we just kind of, I mean, again, when all the names look the same and you know who they are, you're kind of just picking out of a hat, which I'm sure, I mean, you were the captain.
Which is kind of fun.
It is fun because you make new friends, you get to meet new people, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this person's sweet. This is really working out. So, yeah, we got really lucky.
I played against you guys, and Megan tore us up, and I just was like, hey, you want to play on a team? She's like, yeah, actually. So we
stole
over to TMA,
right? Yeah, because that's what, I forget who told me. Somebody said, might have been Darren, who said, yeah, we got her to play for our team after Val crushed her ankle or whatever.
Yeah, her leg. Yeah.
So getting her to play is a pretty decent sub out of nowhere. So
yeah.
Plus, she wasn't on a team before, right? She
was just playing breakfast. No, this was her first,
So. She's a stud. And she's she's been subbing all over the place.
Oh,
She's all in on it.
This was great. So this week, Buffalo Vice sent me a text message, and they were like, hey, we have a doubleheader. Can you play for us? And I saw that one of the games was against the Stunts, and I'm like, And I was like, I might be able to do one, but one game I can't make, you know. But honestly, it was two because I was trying to leave early. Didn't
when
work.
When did you leave? Seven?
Four.
Early.
Something.
Still early.
Yeah, like 4:59. But because we were going down to Ellicottville, and I was laughing because I'm like, you know what, just keep working your way down the list and text Megan. She's somebody who's really wanting to play, and I knew we were all set for TMA this week, so she didn't need to play. But she did the cutest thing because when Jason from Vice did get her on the phone, she texted me first to make sure we were okay before she said yes to them. And I was like, love that.
Well, did you get to put her, because it was before week three. Is she on the roster then?
So, no, she isn't. She's just subbing for us for three particular games because the person that we did get to go on our roster is out for three. So
she's like the sub.
She's like a sub. Yeah.
I love that so much.
I know. But that's we'll get to that later. I got a new girl, and she had her first game on Saturday.
Ooh, I'm excited to hear about that, too. But let's rock and roll. Let's get to 10 o'clock.
All right, 10 o'clock. Eyes Downtown, 34. Frodo Swaggin, 16. The Malones, 71. Show Me Your TDs, 0.
Yeah.
Can't Touch This, 45. Maverick, 6. 716, 20. Bullet Club, 14. Raw Milkers, 20. Balls Deep, 12.
Shout out to the Raw Milkers. They had been playing okay, but they hadn't won a game yet. Now they take on Balls Deep, who, I mean, they were 3-1 at the time. They were at the top of the division, and they took them down. So, like, that's pretty awesome for their first win. Shout out to them. Like I said, that is a really impressive win. The Malones put up 71, kind of a disappointment for them against Show Me Your TDs. I'm sure they felt like they left some on the field there. It's fucked up, but like at the same time, like I feel terrible for Show Me Your TDs, and like, I mean, we'll get into it in a minute. Just
I know, as we keep saying every week, don't give up.
I don't want them to give up because they were at the first few weeks they're at the bar, they were doing stuff, and I just hope they don't hate it so much that we never see them.
They just got to drop down division.
Yeah,
it's one of those teams though. They just
maybe a couple
win in the wrong division.
Sort of point yet. Maybe we go back to D5.
I wasn't saying one division.
You said a division. I'm saying multiple.
I mean drop down. Just drop down.
Eyes Downtown, 34. Frodo Swaggin, 16. Eyes Downtown is a machine. It just seems that it doesn't matter who Bobby has with him. He can turn them into superstars because they're sitting at 4-1 right now. Frodo,
they have a lot of game on guys too that are pretty good.
Yeah.
I've seen their roster a couple times now, and multiple ones have been on multiple good teams over in game on.
Oh, okay.
So he did get people that know how to play. He's not teaching much.
Right.
He's actually just plugging new athletes in that he usually
I mean, he has, but, yeah. they don't, but yeah. it's less learning and more just repetition, I guess, at that point. But, yeah, I mean, great work for them. And then, well, let's just start with the other game. Can't Touch This, 45, Maverick, 6. This game was on the field next to us because we were playing for Bullet Club. Even Doreen was subbing, so she was there as well. But a lot was happening on that field because every time we kept hearing people scream and go nuts over there, and we were like, oh, shit, this would be a great game. But every time we turned around, it seemed like Can't Touch This was the one celebrating.
Yeah.
Like, I had seen a few plays where, like I remember specifically, like, Dalecki had a read on a deep ball, and he dropped the pick, and I was like, you hate to see that. And then then it just happened, like, a play or two later, we got the pick anyway, and it just seemed like Can't Touch This could do no wrong. And we were...
I saw their girls... Making good catches.
We were this close to getting them on the podcast to talk about it, but Ben Stack got scared, and Ryan tried his absolute best to be here, and he just couldn't do it. But he says he owes us, so I think we're going to get him on soon. I told him he has to keep stomping on teams in D2, so that way it's a more interesting show when he comes on, if they're going for like the undefeated season or something.
I saw one of their girls make a catch in the end zone that was pretty it was like a little behind her and low, and she still snagged
just
it.
Just went down and got it.
Yeah, I was like,
I mean, coming from over from Mavericks, it looked like Cantush just has the Maverick vibe this season, where they're just very happy and energetic and celebrating for each other. And like, the one thing playing against them so much is like, you always know their girls are really good. The guys will make plays, but their girls are so sneaky good because like, you don't know them that well.
They're
like,
quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I feel next like thing you know,
staying
they're
that way
them.
On purpose. That's well, like, that's part of their strategy.
But also like, I'm pretty sure that before like their girl, I think they got new girls along the way.
Because I thought those girls have been there a while.
No, they have the top two that are. They've been there. Yeah. I know that a couple of them have been there for the entire time, but I feel like the taller girls haven't. Because I thought their whole stick was like, their girls are all kind of short, but like they fucking rock, so it doesn't matter. So I don't know. I could be completely wrong on that. But what did we always say? Not what did we always say about them, but like Cantus was always like missing like one or two superstars. I guess superstars is
Term, you're also seeing their team catch up to how good their quarterback was. Quarterback was always amazing.
He reminds me of Pugh a lot, where he could just like throw it from one
and
end
the
to the
breaks.
Other.
Yeah.
That's a rock.
But jokes aside, though, I mean, Ryan, he's very, very good. But then essentially adding Dalecki and Ben, it's you get two D1 talents, and God bless them, they're fucking good, and they are showing it now, where it's like, this team has to be thinking they can play in D1. Like,
oh, I think they could have last season. I think there was three teams in D2 that could have last season.
Yeah, they're 5-0. Like I said, I just happen to have it up, so here's my topper stats. But they've scored 205 points, and they've only allowed 31. But two of those are forfeits against Show Me Your TDs. So theoretically, they could have even more points scored for. Everything just seems to be going right. Like you said, the vibes definitely feel on for them. There's not much else to say about it.
The Mavericks were definitely
the anti-buds.
They seemed imploding.
More frustrated than anything.
They're frustrated. I talked to a bunch of them. They're having a really rough attendance issue this season, and it's affecting it.
Yeah, I had to sub from 1 week, so you know it's bad.
Yeah, and all of their girls either got pregnant, got careers now, they're getting married, or injured to the point where they're not playing anymore. It was a lot for Mavericks.
Dorian did all of those things and still plays, so I don't know. Bullshit.
You know, it's just where you lay your priorities,
I
you
guess
know?
So. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, hey, but again, shots can't touch this. I mean, I know it's tough. I'm sure the Mavericks aren't thrilled, for sure, but that's not like they're a bad team all of a sudden, and once they get their people there, you know, they'll be A-okay. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when they get everybody there. And then finally, 716-20, Bullet Club 14. Before we talk about it, because we all played in it, I did get my ref notes from Tino, and I love that Tino sent me ref notes for a game that
for
I played in. But I'll never not read Tino's stuff because he's just a gem. He did say, nothing really to report. Evenly matched game with a close score. Dylan had a dope 20-30 yard TD pass to I unfortunately forgot whom. That dude on 716 with the beard and bandana had some ill moves to shuck and jive for some yak on a hurried end of first half drive. He then capped it off with the heels planted before the end line, stiff body falling backwards catch for a TD. What a beast. Also, that guy ran out of bounds beforehand before he caught the touchdown, so it shouldn't have counted. But that's okay. It is what it is. It's really hard to referee, so you can't see everything. But I definitely just watched him come back in and cross the line, and then the ball went to him. I was like, oh, well, at least they should not. They didn't see it. You can just tell. And I mean, what are you going to do? Get mad at, oh, hey, you didn't pay attention to one of the 12 people scrambling around the field like psychopaths. Can't be mad about it. It sucks. But yeah, no, that guy did have some ill shuck and jive moves, Tino. You weren't kidding. I love Tino to death. I think he's coming on. I think he's officially coming on the podcast next week. So
yay.
Once again, we'll have Tino back. He'll give us all haircuts. It'll be awesome. But yeah, what do you have to say about the game? There's not much that I really want to talk about.
I was like, I had fun.
It was back and forth. I think Bullet Club
back and forth game, guys.
I know.
Second half, they seemed to just get away from the game plan that was working.
Right.
Like, it seemed like it was going and building, and then halftime happened, and it seemed like, I mean, offensively and defensively, it just seemed like there was a little bit of a shift, and it seemed just like, it just, the second half felt a lot longer.
Fucking drops, man. It's like, it's just frustrating. we're making the right play. Like, you can't, like, I told Dylan on the sideline after the game, I was like, I can't even give you any shit because you're making really good throws and we're just not helping you out. Yeah. Like, and that's been kind of the story of the season for the most part. Like, we, Dylan's had some great passes that have hit people right in their midst, and we just can't hold on. We had one drive, I was talking about this off air, where we shut them down on defense. I think they ended up, they basically just did like a long punt where they ended up getting the ball just past the 50. So we had six plays from the 50. We threw five of them in the end zone. And
two of them were dropped in the end zone.
No, all of them hit hands in the end zone.
I know, but two of them were drops, literally though. Just, they were only in our hands. They weren't actually well defended or anything. It just kind of like, it just, and it was one of those days.
And the other play was a super, like the easy take what they give you. Oh, cool. Yeah. They kept giving us 15 yards. Easy peasy. Let's just take that. No, let's just take that and move down. And we just didn't take what they gave us. We went, and it sucks because like we did throw deep, but we had it. And even then, needless to say, we were still there at the end. We walked it down there with 2 minutes to go, and we had 6-0 from essentially the goal line, right? Yes.
Yeah, I think
Dylan scrambled to his left, and he had Nick in the back of the end zone and tossed it to him, and Nick fucking
and
just
I've
dropped
never,
it.
I have been playing with Nick for 20 years. I've never seen him drop a ball like that.
It I cheered because weird. I was just like, oh, touchdown. Let's fucking roll. Let's get this one-point conversion and escape with a victory that it felt like we should have won by like two, three touchdowns, and I know everybody says that when they lose. I think I say this every fucking week on the podcast, but...
But there were three end zone drops that would have been touchdowns.
It was there, and it's fine, and it's whatever. It's because fine. If it makes the playoffs, I'd rather not play in an 8-9 game because anything can happen, and we're going to be playing probably a pretty good team because that's how D3 rolls. So is somebody breaking into your house?
No, it's the fucking neighbors.
Oh, we hate the neighbors.
We hate the neighbors.
These fucking guys. But, so I don't know. I was just frustrated about it. It was a good game, and then, you know, like, we let Dylan down, and... I'll say that. I mean, like, and everybody else kind of knows that, so it's not like I'm calling anybody out, you know?
Well, and you guys were short, too. I mean, I was subbing, so...
Well, yeah, being short that sucks, never helps. But, like... Right, Steph really wanted to go play in the Mavericks game, and that worked out for her. And,
oh, no.
And needless to say, it sucks, but what is this long audio message you're showing me, Drew?
It's from Bobby.
Oh, great.
Can I just play it?
I don't know if it'll play the way we want it to play. Was it for? Is it the first game?
It's for both.
No, you can read.
Look at the size.
We can read about the second game. We already talked about
that's
got to
be the biggest thing Bobby's ever produced.
I'll have to giggity. I'll have to read it and then find where the breaking point is.
That's hilarious. But well, let's just roll on to 11 o'clock now that Doreen's got her mouth full.
Okay. 11 o'clock, Eyes Downtown 31, Sticky Bandits 23. Can't. Wait, I did this one already.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
Oh, sorry, never mind.
It just feels like it because there's a lot of the same teams.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, can't touch this. 21, show me your TDs, forfeit, 0. Wait, so how come they could play at 10 but they couldn't play at 11?
I will say I'm not 100% sure that it was a forfeit, but I can't imagine that if they played, can't touch this would only score 21 points. So I kind of just guesstimated there that they just said, fuck it, we didn't want to play after the Malone's beat down.
Oh, no. See,
that's my biggest fear.
Now I'm, we're all fearful of this. Okay. Practice squad 46, PWI 30, select 44, intentional clowning 32, and TMA 34, blue ballers 17.
All right. So, like we said, Cantos is 21, show me your TD 0. I wrote forfeit. I could be wrong. I didn't actually ask Jeff if it was. Just because I got busy today and forgot to double check in, but it feels to me like it was because Cantuses should normally score a lot more points than that. So we'll just call it what it is. George, do you have the Eyes Downtown Sticky Bandits report?
Yeah, but at first I also have practice squad.
Oh, what?
That one's shorter.
Okay. Fair.
All right, so practice squad, I got B's right up about his team. Said all of his females played great. Kenny doing his usual thing, like always. John Kay and Hearn also had great games, too. Jamie McCabe led the defense, and Sean Hayden had a big interception that closed out the game. So that was that one.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I've got notes on it, too.
There we go.
PWI is my experience.
Well, you played in it. You don't even need notes. Just tell me your experience.
Yeah, but Addy gave me notes. What was I going to say? He said, it felt like we were off. It took a while to get a rhythm, defense especially, since we didn't figure them out till about halfway through the second half. But we pretty much all blame Colorado Mike and Doreen for bailing on us.
I blame Colorado Mike.
Thanks.
Well, you're scary and he's not. But losing Colorado Mike doesn't hurt your team.
That's That's always my favorite thing when people say they're scared of me.
Well, that's kind of how you've cultivated your whole existence.
Is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now
I
mean, we have a novel to read.
Hi. I'll say hi to Alex, who likes pinpointing the things we say wrong on the podcast. But
oh my god,
he's the best. I think he wants to come on too. Just, I love Alex. It's fine.
Heck yeah. But
I did see him mid-game when we were walking off our field from the Bullet Club game, and I was just like, "How's it going here?" And he's like, "Not great. This is not." He goes, "I have no fucking clue what's going on with us, but we're not playing our way at all." So, whatever. Shout out to practice squad. That's a really, really good win. George, what happened in the Eyes Downtown Sticky Bandits game?
He said, shout out to Bobby, we jumped out to a 22-0 lead really quick, and you know, at some point they got to stop. I think they got a score, if I'm correct. If I'm wrong, before halftime, maybe like 22-6-ish got a stop on us, and then maybe it was 22-15-ish, and then stopped this again, and then took the lead with, that was 23-22. Then we had a pick at the tie. Wow. Bobby, text, not audio text.
Or go back and proofread, for the love of God.
We came down and had a girl touchdown. Alex scored. I'd put us up 8. We missed the conversion. Mike Thomas opened the drive on a stop and go. They missed it. And then I'm getting six and goal, I'm assuming is what it says. From maybe the midfield-ish, maybe behind midfield, and we got a knockdown to win the game.
TSL, we can't type. The Jeff Cole, pretty much says the same thing. He's like, we were missing 5 guys. Garrett subbed for us, with me and Mike both having to play defense, and Garrett got hurt on the first play. We fell behind 22-0, but came back to lead 23-22 before they scored on their last drive. Pretty much it.
Nice.
Cool. All right, Select 44, Intentional Clowning 32. Select scored a lot of points this game.
Yeah, I have notes.
Hold on. I want to see something here.
Okay.
Yeah, so Select scored more than half of the entire points that they've scored the entire season in this one game. They have 85 on the year, and they scored 44 in this one. What do your notes say?
Let's see. This is Mark Herzinski. Mm-hmm. Said for the game, it was a real good game. A lot of back and forth. Kate Barbady was on fire, scoring 3 of our touchdowns. Intentional Clowning was an awesome team to play against, a very good team with a lot of talent, smart, and organized. Zach Boyce and myself had key back-to-back interceptions that ultimately were the defining moments in the game. His daughter, Trinity, is still waiting on her first touchdown, which is outstanding because I guess they bet before the season that if she does score, he has to buy her a motorcycle. So he basically slipped his son $100 to never throw to her in the end zone.
I love that.
But then he did say that his son, Sin, the quarterback, played his best game so far, used his legs, didn't force any throws, took what the defense gave him, went through his progressions, and capitalized off of the turnovers and opportunities.
Well, that's perfect.
So I played with Kate Barbady in Blondes versus Brunette 1.5 million years ago.
She's one of the teachers that I went to high school
for. Yes, yeah. And she, when I saw that she was in the league, I like, went nuts because I'm just so excited to see people from the olden days still out there doing it. But I also know how good she is. So her like first game, she was on defense and I was standing on the sidelines and I'm like, hey, Sin, I was like, you should ask for Kate to go out on offense. And then just boom, she got him on a stop and go and out and up. And so for her the very next week, you know, to get 3 mm-hmm. touchdowns, it's like, all right, utilizing the
makes
right
sense.
People. Yeah.
I'm 90% sure that she's the person who takes a lot of pictures at all of the hockey tournaments and everything that we play in, like for floor hockey. Mm. So I know that. I'm pretty sure that's what her last name is, but I'm always terrible.
She has a twin sister.
I know, so I'm yeah. So that means it's definitely her. No, yeah. That means she takes all the pictures because we're friends on Facebook because of it. So she's definitely taken like 1 million awesome pictures. She's fantastic at the photography portion of her life.
She's a great human.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. So yeah. I thought that name sounded familiar when you said it. I was like, oh my god, is it the same one? It's 100%. So like, shout out to another new person in the league being awesome.
Yay.
Well, new old person in the league.
Yeah. I don't know if she ever played in the league before. Like, I only knew her from Blondes versus Brunettes. Yeah.
I feel like everybody, if you've played in Blondes versus Brunettes, you at least played a game or two at some point.
Somewhere.
It was actually really funny because Raina came up to me and was like, hey, you know that's Miss Barbady, right? And I was like, yeah.
That's the best part. Easily the best part. I love it.
Love it.
TMA 34, Blue Baller 17.
Dun, dun, dun.
TMA 4-0. Mm-hmm. Holy fuck, what is this? 2000.
Wait, is it 4-0 or 5-0 now? Isn't this week 5?
It says 4-0, but this is a program that Topper made, so it could be wrong, but...
Yeah.
It says 4-0 with 130 points scored for, 77 against. That's great. Like, the TMA of old is apparently just, they're back.
It's our halftime shots.
So, the TMA of old, they're back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we also had, like, one of those days where we were getting text messages at 9 a.m. from, you know, Megan, who's like, hey, I haven't slept yet. And we're like, get your ass to the field. Mm-hmm. So she had some great catches even on 1 hour of sleep. And I finally got this female that I've been trying to get in our league for two seasons now. She was, like, a little shy about coming on board if, like, she wasn't on a team with me, but everything was roster filled. So I tried to get her in the Breakfast Club, but then I did the stupid thing where I forgot I was the fourth girl and I was waiting to draft her. And everybody's like, no, you're full for girls. I was like, oh shit. So, she ended up not coming on board, but then, you know, not to say this is a good thing, but when Val broke her leg, unfortunately, I was like, oh, I got, finally a roster spot opens for her. So I said, do you want to come on board? So she couldn't for like two of the weeks. Hence why we got Megan. But her name's Jess West, and she was my son's teacher. But, like, you know when you could just tell somebody's going to be good at football?
Oh, yeah.
You know? And she came out for her first game, went out with no gloves on, was making one-handed catches.
All right, then.
I was so stoked. So we had nothing but, I think we had like a bunch of female touchdowns. I mean, we just.
That's how you win in the league.
It was all, yeah, it was all the girls this week.
And I think last week was like that too. It felt like just
us making huge catches that got us down there. And then Ryan just, he's just been on fire. I love his balls.
Typical.
He's got great balls. but playing against Blue Ballers, I was laughing because I'm like, how do I know this guy? And then I remembered he was my loser of the week last year. He was on the Mighty Ducks, and I was like, damn it, I miss Kenny and Jill. They were the only fun part of that Mighty Drunks team because this guy is intense. And he had a situation at one point, you guys would have laughed at it, where it was like second and two. And they'd had a good chunk play on their first, play. And they were down there, I don't know, 15 yards from the end zone. And it was the second down. And he'd been complaining about every time they snapped the ball that my rusher was counting already. But I was like, but you're supposed to count when this ball is snapped. So what is he talking about? And so I noticed he'd been complaining about it. But then all of a sudden he says, hut, and she starts counting. And he goes, see, she can't do that, and yells to the ref. And everybody just stops moving. And the ref is like, yeah, it's like when you say snap, that's when they did it. And I was like, this dude's been playing in the league for a year. You don't know when. So I get like kind of pissy. And I'm like, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, just get him. Like, and then they were like, no, it's fine. We'll just do it over. So they go to redo it. And then on the next play, I was like, 3rd and 2. I yelled it out to everybody. And they were like, no, 2nd and 2. I was like, you think you can say snap and then just ask the ref a fucking question in the middle of your down? Like, that's not how this works.
There's a few people in the league that are like that.
But, like...
And then the ref's always wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, is that going to be your loser of the week?
No.
So, but it was a really fun game regardless. They were doing no huddle and we kept up with them on D, so that was fun. But have they lost any games other than that one? Because I felt like
that was
our first loss. Yeah, they were pretty talented. Otherwise, I will say they have a girl on there, taller. I'm going to call her Taller Tori.
Okay.
Because they were trying to call her Touchdown Tori.
Right. And no,
that's,
we have one of those.
That's unacceptable. And
correct.
And here's the thing: I was all for, you know, giving. I like to give the women of this league their flowers. But she did have a drop in the end zone, and Touchdown Tori has never had a drop in the end zone. So I was like, no, we can't be calling her Touchdown Tori. So she's Taller Tori.
Taller Tori.
Until she can come up in the divisions. But she's really good, though. She's actually really good.
Didn't know, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think the Blue Ballers, they reached out to Jeff about wanting to come on the podcast. Jeff was telling me, so we'll have to make that happen in the coming weeks. So that'll be pretty cool to get some fresh blood on here.
Did they want to be on because it was against?
No. I don't think it had anything to do with that.
I was like, we didn't get in a fight this week.
Yeah, exactly, right? So we'll wait till they get in a fight. No, I'm just kidding. We've got to get moving, so let's move on to noon.
All right, 12 o'clock, Buffalo Vice, 46, Bullet Club, 34. Becca Gets Wrecked, 38, D-Gen, X, Y, and Z, 34. Bird Watching in Birkenstocks, 46, Come From Behind, 20. Sausage and McMuffins, 21, Blitzkrieg, 21. Oh! Raw Milker, I got excited. Raw Milkers, okay. 46, Irish Giants, 8.
Yeah, as you could tell by Doreen's excitement, the Raw Milkers went from 0-4 to 2-4 real quick in the span of a couple hours. They just put the hammer down on Irish Giants, so shout out to them for a big win there to, you know, go 2-0 on the day. Sausage McMuffins and Blitzkrieg play each other. They've played each other a million times in D6. Both of these teams came up, I'm pretty sure this year, they both went up to D5 together. And then they end up battling to a tie, which is kind of hilarious. But whatever, that's cool. I mean, they've played each other a million times, so it's not fully surprising. Becca Gets Wrecked sneaks one out against DXYZ, which is all the Kellers and stuff, who are having arguably the worst season in a while. I talked to Scott a little bit and just said basically it appears that his father has to dust off the old arm to lead them to victory because that's what they're missing. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Yeah, they're 1-4, which is unusual. Usually they're about 4-1 at this point, so just a bad season.
They're always the team you don't want to play in playoffs, though.
Yeah.
Correct. I don't care what seed they are. You don't want to play them.
Because they're smart, and you never want to play the smart teams in the playoffs for sure. And then Tino was nice enough to give me another rundown. Mm-hmm. The Tino rundown is for the Bird Watching and Birkenstocks versus Come From Behind game. Bird Watching must have watched some Red Tail Hawks this week and been inspired because they preyed upon CFB this game. Each team traded some outstanding interceptions early on in the contest, but BWB started building a nest that withstood the elements.
Oh my God.
I love it. This is
incredible.
The younger tall cat on their team tore it up in the first half. Bobby McConnell was an animal in the second half and had some great plays as a receiver. He even ripped the ball out of his own teammate's hands for an extra point. Settle down, beast. Tino, you're my favorite part about this podcast nowadays. I love Tino's ref notes. So Bird Watching and Birkenstocks.
Feels like Come From Behind is having a tough time in the new division.
I guess. Didn't they start out off okay, though? I thought they were like 2-0 to like kick off the season. But yeah, it seems like Bird Watching and my Birkenstocks, or whatever the fuck it is. That is such a name. What is that? Why is that a name? I hate that.
Well, that's the Eichhoff's team,
yeah,
right?
But why? Why did we do this?
You never know, man.
They used to be gray hair don't care, right?
Yes. I know. Yeah.
That's what George
I think there's
George
a lot less players
him.
On gray hair don't care. And I think it's a lot of newer people or something.
Yeah, I think it's only Jackie B and Eichhoff are the gray hair people on that team. And then Bobby. And then I don't know anyone else on that team.
Well, whatever it is, it's working. And they're scoring points. And they're leading the division. So that's kind of sweet. Hmm. All right. New team jumping in. Last but not least, Buffalo Vice 46, Bullet Club 34. Yuck. George, you seem like you have something to say. Go nuts.
Was it
when Buffalo Vice's QB is on, man, he is on. He started that game on fire. His first half was insane. He could do no wrong. And, I mean, it's also really hard. Langley and I were talking about it on the sideline, like, when Buffalo Vice smacks you in the teeth, it's really hard because they are the nicest people.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can't get mad at them.
No.
They're still just nice.
You just get mad at yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. You get mad at yourself for getting like semi-mad at them. You're like, no. What's wrong with me?
Did they even have like their best girls?
Yeah.
Caitlin was there. They have Desmond. Desmond's amazing. He's so fast. And like, again, when it's Andy, right? When Andy's on, he's amazing. Like Garrett was saying it on the sideline. Like when he's on, it's really hard to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to cool off in the second half, which gave us a pretty good almost comeback. It seemed like we started to gain a little bit of momentum in the second half, but we just ran out of time.
And we threw that pick in the end zone. Kaylin had a pick in the end zone from her knees, so that didn't help things. But just another what the fuck type loss. It's all right.
Yeah.
What you gonna do?
Yeah.
I'm so bummed. But also, like, again, our best players and John Langley have been injured this year. So, what are you gonna do?
Have you guys won one yet?
Yeah, we got.
We won our first game.
Okay.
Yeah, that sucks. I could argue that we should win this game because I'm pretty sure they had an illegal person play, like two plays, but we immediately scored in, like a 100-yard touchdown as soon as she went in because she didn't know what she was doing. So we're going to just let it be. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I also don't feel like checking Rosin. I don't really give enough of a shit about that. But I was like, I don't feel like she's supposed to be playing. But I know they're missing people, so I feel like they're talking her into it. But
it was like a female who's never played.
Yeah, and I know. It's not a difference maker. Zero fucks. I'm just saying, like, oh, maybe we should have just done it so we get the win. I hate winning like that, so I'd never fucking do it.
Yeah.
Unless, like, the people were assholes. Like, that's a different thing. But, again, like you said, you can't get mad at Bubble Vice. They're super cool people. I like just about every single one of them, and the ones that I don't know if I like is because I haven't really talked to them.
They're all so amazing.
Yeah, so shout out to them. Let's just roll on to 1 o'clock.
Jabronis, 29. Scared Hitless, 22. Cunning Stunts, 55. Buffalo Vice, 38. Pit Parade, 36. Two Tutties, 8. Not So Sticky, 26. And Blitzkrieg, 9.
The Stunts, 55. Vice, 38. Their first battle in a little bit, right? Well, yeah, because Vice moved it up a couple seasons ago. I know they battled for a while there. Cunning Stunts get the better of Buffalo Vice this time around, but like we had mentioned earlier.
Put up a good number of points.
Well, that's just that's what I mean. I mean, George kind of said it, Andy was pretty on. So even with, you know, a shorter cast, I guess, because they definitely were missing some people, like, I guess.
They had all their top-end people, though.
Did they?
Yeah, they had their big guy. They had their fast guys. I mean, Caitlin's there. Caitlin's amazing.
Fair enough. Either way, 38 points is nothing to sneeze at, just the stunts and the relentless pressure. This is what you get. Not So Sticky, 26. Blitzkrieg, 9. Jeff Kroll gave me the notes on this one, so I can casually pull those up, potentially. Very casual. He had said, Not So Sticky game. Jenna left Not So Sticky for Blitzkrieg in the offseason. How do you like them apples now, Jenna? But Blitzkrieg was awesome for even trying the triple header. Absolutely one of my favorite teams in the league. He goes, yes, I'm allowed to have favorites. Perfect mix of fun people and good athletes. It just seems like Blitzkrieg played, but Not So Sticky just kind of had everything go their way. So shout out to Not So Sticky for getting a win over Blitzkrieg. Jabronis, 29. Scared Hitless, 22. George, what happened?
Jabronis brought in a new guy that I haven't seen before who was probably one of the best athletes I've ever seen on a field.
Roster check.
I watched him go up over two people, land on one foot, and do a spin move, which looked like a Madden.
His school's like college rusher.
I heard from their sideline they were talking about he's their leading. He was his college. He was a running back for a college, and he was a leading rusher for school history or something like that. Every time he got the ball, he definitely proved it. He did a spin move as he caught a ball off of one foot and just walked into the end zone pretty damn much from midfield.
Can't be that good. It's only D2 in college, only D2 in regular life.
I don't know if it was D2, D1, I don't know, but he was amazing. Scared Hitless was missing pretty much everybody this week. Who they brought in is, it was also Brando's first game back from an injury, so he's getting his legs underneath him. The girls for Scared Hitless, again, are amazing. There's five girls on there, and they're all amazing.
Yeah.
There's not one, and they're so nice. Like, Scared Hitless is definitely a very big family vibe. Like, coming from Mavericks, it's a very parallel move. Everybody's very friendly. They all talk about, like, keep each other up. And I will say, like, they're going to be a force to reckon with. I can't talk about them enough. Hate that I can't play with them.
Right.
Jabronis are just, they're systematically very good. I mean, they don't make mistakes, and when they do, they are able to cover it up very quickly. Joe Miano is a very good quarterback. I mean,
oh, he's so sweet. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to sub for.
Yeah,
for sure. Sub with, yeah.
And when you have, like, Kleckler on your team, it's very systematic. You know what's going to happen. You know where it's going. You know what's going to happen, and you just got to execute it.
George, do you think the Mavericks are having trouble this season because they changed from their awesome cotton candy jerseys to the ones they have now?
I plead the fifth.
George hates the new jerseys. There it is. Pot stirring. Anyway, and last but not least, I wrote this backwards. The two tutties are the ones with 36. Pitterade had 8. Maybe my heart just wanted what it wanted there, but...
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I had it backwards. We lost. Oh. Yeah, no, I mean, the Tutties just do what they do. They're a great fucking team. And they have been playing together now for a while and just like, you know, their quarterback is on and he's not hurt like he was before. And the Tutties just keep, they're just systematic about it. All their girls play very, very well. Everybody knows their role and they play it. Danwin's fucking awesome. I knew he was good, but I didn't know much about him until I started playing with him in Breakfast Club this year. And then you really see like how good he is enough for me to already like say to him like, why are you wasting your talents in D5? Like you need to be playing higher. It just you just do. He's too good to be. And yeah, about D3. That's what I was thinking, George.
I'm take my talents to D3.
Corey will shiv me, but either way,
just get him to ref a couple times.
Yeah, no, about four. Anyway, but yeah, shout out to him. Yeah, for us, it was just one of those things where we did move the ball okay, but anytime we'd get close, it would either be like an overthrow or like a drop ball, or there was the one play that. We had it on, I want to say, like the five, and Langley went to throw the ball, and the rusher tipped it, and it tipped straight off her hand to the other girl on their team, which Corey told me to point out that that was his wife who tipped the ball, and it tipped it right to her sister. So they got the pick there, and it was just one of those ones where it's like, fuck, whatever, what are you going to do? Just nothing was really going right, but it is what it is. Yeah, so why don't we just move on to 2 o'clock.
Legends, 41, Free Ballers, 16. Bird Watching in Birkenstocks, 40. Puckett, 12. Two Tutties, 36. Blitzkrieg, 14. Sticky Laces, 35. Dog Pound, 13.
Yeah, on the Two Tutties Blitzkrieg game, Corey had said that Danwin had an amazing game with 2 bomb touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Nate Smith had a timely interception in the second half, and Carol Walcott had a big touchdown. Blitzkrieg moved the ball well all game and played tough defense. We were lucky to have played them at the end of a triple header. Bravo to them for being the first to do it, which... arguably they're the first to do it. I still feel like there's been a team along the way that's played 3 games in a day, but in recent memory, people really haven't. So still shout out to them for doing it. That was a pretty
good. There's no doubt, because I remember doing like rain makeups and crap like that.
Yeah, that type of shit.
I feel like Free Ballers when I was QB did it once too. Same. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but again, this is unofficial random stats that we make up as we go. So yeah. Who cares? Legends, 41, Free Ballers, 16. Not really much to say there. They just... did just exactly what you expected to happen. The Legends won by a pretty easy margin. That's not to talk shit about the Free Ballers, just the Legends are very, very good, and the Free Ballers are still figuring shit out and improving, which is important. You know, they look like they belong a little bit more than they did before, so you can't really get too upset about that. I understand that the final score sucks, but you're playing one of the better teams in league history. Like, don't get too bummed about it. In shitty weather, I might add. Let's see here. And then, obviously, Birkenstocks, 40, Puckett, 12. There's another win for Birkenstocks. For, like I said, they're first in their division. Puckett is another top team in that division, and they kind of just handed that a pretty easy loss there. They didn't really do much else.
We'll say Bobby and Eichhoff are 2 very smart people. Right. So putting them on the same team is...
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. George, I forgot. Did you have stuff on the Tutties Blitzkrieg game?
You pretty much nailed it. Yeah. I will say, like, Blitzkrieg, the whole sideline, the whole time, was like, hey, we have a Bandits game to go to. Remember, guys, we got to go to the Bandits game.
What a fucking busy day. Yeah. Three games, then go to the Bandits game. But, hey, they won. Could you imagine the Bandits lost, too? Oh, God, Blitzkrieg would be so sad. But
you know what makes me sad is that the next day I was, like, scrolling on Facebook or Insta or whatever, and then I'm just seeing, like... as I'm friends with a guy who's in the admins up in Bandit Land, and he's like, just, it's his whole life, it's his job, and he's so excited, and he posted a million things. I was like, oh, they won again. And I'm just like, this is so depressing that, like, we have something in Buffalo that wins all the time, and we're just like, oh, we didn't even.
We knew, people knew.
I know, but it just makes me sad.
All of my feeds. I think it still kind of is, actually. Like, I'm seeing things from outside of Buffalo now getting tagged of, like, oh, look what happened. Like, there was a couple of videos on ESPN a couple of days ago of, like, what happened.
Oh, neat.
So it is kind of cool to see Buffalo outside of our normal sports getting.
So we'll probably win next year, so we'll make it 4 in a row, and everybody will go, this evens out for the 4 losses of Super Bowl.
Tickets are getting expensive, I'll say that. I wanted to go, and I saw a ticket price, and I was like, oh.
What were they at that point?
Me and Em wanted to go. I think they were plus over 150 when we were looking at for 300 levels. I was like, I don't know anything about the sport. Like, I can't justify
it. It's sweet. It plays music.
I was going to say, I know it plays music.
And you can beat the shit out of each other during most of it. It's a pretty crazy game that you're just meant to just beat the shit out of each other in. But I don't know how those dudes do it, because like everybody on the Bandits is like, they have a real job. I would say
they have full-time jobs.
Yeah, like how John Tavares, the best player like in the history of the game, he was also like, you know, a teacher. So he just teach for a while, then fly off, play a game where he'd get 30 points in the game and be awesome, and then
and go back to someone in the back of the head with a stick.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Hey, don't be bad in this class, guys.
But it's okay for the rules are like, no, you can beat the shit out of them. Yeah, all right, cool. Sticky Laces 35, Dog Pound 13. The Dog Pound magic kind of ran out. I know they've been having a good season, but more importantly, Sticky Laces gets a victory. This is their first one of the year. They're 1-4. It's been a trying season, to say the least, for them, for sure. But hey, maybe this is a good sign of things to come as they're starting to figure shit out and putting it together. And before you know it, they're going to finish like sixth and be that team that one of the top teams don't want to face in the first round of the playoffs. That's pretty much where they're looking to be. So it'll be okay. All right. That brings us to, of course, our winners and losers and final thoughts section of the program. Before that, I have one question for both of you. This is a random thing I was thinking of earlier today. So both of you have played for a lot more teams than I have. I've played for pretty much Bullet Club my entire existence here, and then I spot dutied occasionally on Tommy's Experience and now Pit Parade, or when I had Lenny's Ladies. If there was a team right now that you could just go play for because you like the vibes or you like who they are or whatever, who would it be?
That's not the team that I played on or played for already?
Correct. Yeah, I won't say you. I'll say you can't go. Yeah, you have to leave the team you're on, and it can't be a team you already played for.
Which team do I have to lose?
It doesn't matter.
I know.
It doesn't matter.
So it's a team that we don't play for now.
Right. Any team in the league that you haven't played for before that you see and you're like, that seems like it'd be a lot of fun. I want to go do that.
Does it have to be a certain division or can
be you can be whatever the hell you want it to be.
I'm probably going, I would say either.
Can I do two?
I don't care. Go nuts.
Jabronis.
Okay. That's a good one.
Because I do love Joe. And like I just said earlier, he's literally, like, I sub on all these different teams. And there are some teams that when they ask, well, they'll know. There's only one that asks that I continuously say no to. But because I'm like, oh, just busy. But in reality, it's because I'm like, no. But when they ask, I'll move my schedule around just to play for them. Because they've got a good vibe. Because Joe is just such a great quarterback to play with. But I'm also going to go with the Malones.
Oh, I love this. Because this is a great answer.
Because I hated them 2 years ago. And I love when, like, I start to see the love in, like, a team.
You're like, oh, they're not that
bad. No, they're definitely bad. They're assholes. But, like, I love them. In the way that, you know, and I think I've told this story before, like, 15 years ago or whenever it was that it was Mile League and then it split and went to Game On. Mm-hmm. And I left because I hated Mo so much. And so it was sad. It was hard because I was at the Rose Garden forever since 1999. And right. And I loved it there, but I knew that I hated Mo so much more. So I went to Game On, and when I went there, I met the Wanderers. I hated them so much. Like, my husband knew of them based solely off of, like, me coming home and complaining about them. So when he was there for the Breakfast Club draft and I drafted Frank, I saw his face just go, like, around the bend of the door frame and go, did I just hear that? I'm like, I love him now. And I love watching the Wanderers, and I think they're such a fun family-type team. And I see that with the Malones. You know, they're the team that everybody kind of probably wants to hate, but they're such a fun family type vibe. Yeah. And no, I like them.
I like that. George, who you got?
I got two teams that I've literally wanted to play with since I joined.
All right.
Two completely different reasons. One, Frodo, because Garrett, playing with him in Breakfast Club before, he throws a great ball, and I loved catching it. And, like,
giggity.
They're always together. Like, they're very tight together. And then the other one is actually the Sticky Bandits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was gonna say Sticky, but I had a feeling you were gonna say it.
Like, they are plus such a systematic team, and it, like, you see the juggernauts in the team and in the D1, and you see the crazy athletes. And, like, yeah, Sticky Bandits has great athletes, but they don't look the same, yet they are always competing, and they're always winning. Like, it does, like, you see legends, you're like, yeah, okay, I can see why. And then you see them constantly winning, and you're like, I don't, like, you don't get it, because they don't look super dominating physically, but, like, they're so systematic, doesn't matter who's playing for it. Like, I've seen those guys playing in Game On, I've seen them playing with the other people, does not matter what it is, it's such a system that they just win.
Mm-hmm.
And they're and when they win, they're not like cocky about it. They like, it means more when they're winning. Mm-hmm. Like you can tell that it actually like they play for each other. They're not playing just to get some wins and stuff. They like they play because they want to play for who's right next to them.
For what? How many years now? Like yeah.
Yeah, like when they're won D1, you could see that it's like it meant something for real to them. Like it meant like more than just like, oh, we're here playing some football. It's okay, but like it made everybody almost cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. That's why I liked Freeballers so much, because like they were a family.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely, those are good answers. I mean, you guys definitely stole mine the whole time. I was like, oh, I'll just pivot if they say them. One of my main one that I asked is, because I would always say Sticky in this scenario, just because I've played against them for 100 years.
Yeah.
And like we've had some battles and all this other jazz, but also because Rags said that I'd never be able to play one game for them and get a shirt, so I want to do it just to like spite Rags. And that's part of why Jeff might let me do it for one game, but there's that. I was gonna say the Malones too, just because I think it'd be fucking fun. Like yeah. I don't care. I'm all good with, like you said, being the evil empire type team,
the bad guys.
And it's like, it reminds me of like, I always go back to hockey for me, because I played floor hockey for forever, and we were kind of, we weren't the bad guys, we were just better than everybody, but if people were dicks, we would be way bigger dicks back, because we could be. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Malones have that vibe, and that really, like, I'm cool, I like that vibe, so I don't really mind. Kind of what you were saying a little bit too, it's like, we're all here for each other, but like, fuck you. Like, person on the other side of the field, that's the end of you. But since you guys already named those ones, I was kind of like scrolling through. I think that I'd be okay if I joined the Cunning Stunts. I get to sit on the sidelines and do nothing. No, I think Practice Squad would be a fun team to be a part of, just because Bede, Renee, and everybody. Yeah. That's a good, legitimate family type vibe. Good people, like Hearn's on the team too. Like yep. I think that would be a fun one to play for. And I was trying to like find another team that would be pretty cool. I do think I'd really enjoy myself if I played for the Tutties. I think that'd be cool. And TMA is always, I've always wanted to play for TMA for a little bit, mm-hmm. just because, but like, I always think of the old TMA though, you know, like my Prims and Fergers and all that stuff. Cause that's when I was like, that'd be super cool to just hang out with them. Cause I hang out with them all the fucking time, you know, and now yeah. it's still essentially the same team. So it could always be fun, but there's that. And then of course I'll just say the Legends, because I would just like to win a D1 championship and then I can just die and it'll be fine. So. But it'd be sweet. Wow. Anyway, let's head on to winners and losers. I think that was a fun little, give other teams shout-outs.
That could almost be like our final thoughts even, too.
Yeah, fuck it. We'll do other ones.
All right. Winner.
What do you got for your winner?
My winner is Miles On It, of course.
Of course.
Just for, like, you know, making it fun and being there for my kiddo and letting him play and not taking it so seriously, even though, let's face it, Steph is known for, you know, liking her Breakfast Club championships, and she's just been having a lot more, you know, fun with this one. And so I'm going with them, and I think I don't want to steal it from you, but Tino's notes are
oh, he's the best.
Yeah, I know. Like, so I'm gonna go with Tino and the Miles On the team. Those are mine.
George, winner of the week,
Stoner Dave and Sarah.
All right, new parents. Babies.
Stoner got a lot of shit on Saturday. I can only imagine what it's like having a brand new newborn and then having basically no sleep for 3 days and then having to ref. And then he got screamed at pretty much for 2.5-3 hours straight. And he took it like a champ and told people, like, this is why people don't want a ref. And everyone needs to chill, because, damn.
No, you're right.
Well, I was going to say... I didn't want to...
Go for it.
Well, I saw Jeff at one point also, somebody like it was Stoner Dave, picked up the flag and threw it at Jeff. And like, now if that were me as a ref, I would have made him sit out first.
Yeah, series. And that's the thing, like,
and
when...
he didn't, and I was like, that's really nice of you, but we talked about it last week on the podcast too, about refs taking some shit and not... And seeing aggression and seeing some fights and not having people sit out. Like, you need to give people timeouts.
Yeah. And even Stoner, when he was reffing our game, he explained to, for our Scared Hitless game, he was getting a lot of grief from our guys, because, like, it's D2. It gets a little, like, and we need calls. Like, one single call, like, could happen or not happen, could change the entire outcome of a game in D2. Mm-hmm. Like, and he looked at one of our guys, and he was like, listen, like, you're screaming at me. And, like, if you do this to any of the new refs, they're not going to want to ref ever again.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that could change whether our league has refs or they don't, or we have to raise the league fee or the ref fee just to get people to come and ref the games. Because, like, our Scared Hitless game, we only had one ref, and, like, Stoner came and did it out of the kindness of his heart. Like, he was like, sure, I'll do it. And then next thing you know, he's getting screamed at for an hour.
And he's going on no sleep because he's a new dad.
And, like, I didn't know until after I sent a text in our group chat that said, hey, like, I know, like, things went weird with it, but, like, he hasn't slept in 3 days. He just had a newborn, and I was like, oh, my God, I feel so bad.
Yeah.
So, like, take it easy.
No sleep makes people crazy. I remember those days.
I half-ass get the point, though, to play devil's advocate of you show up, you pay your ref, and I get that he hasn't had sleep, and he's doing all the kind of his heart, but then he also gets high on the sidelines, and now he's, like, high and tired and not paying attention, and then people just go, oh, you're Stoner Dave, you're just high as fuck, you're not paying attention, you're fuck drugs, fuck you. Like, I get why people get infuriated, but they're more mad. They're not mad at him. They're mad at themselves for playing poorly.
And that's the thing, though. Like, even, like, when I ref, I make some calls sometimes where I miss a call, like, and then, like, sometimes I'll have people come up, and they're like, hey, just so you know, I want to apologize because, like, it was the heat of the game type of stuff. Like, that's all you got to do. Like, you can yell at refs and be a dick, whatever, but, like, after the game, like, treat them like a human. Like, don't be like, oh, I hate you for the rest of my life because you did a bad job reffing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can be mad for an hour and then just be like, all right, shrug it off. Like,
so who was your winner of the week?
Stoner and Sarah, being new parents.
That I was also, like, let's go back to the positive.
I really enjoy our tangents. We're doing a really good job. Garrett had winners. He texted me out of nowhere at 9:30 in the morning to say, hey, can you please shout out Melissa Skipworth, Stoner Dave, and the many other refs that had filled in last minute this year. Shame the higher division players that stick around at the bar and sit in lawn chairs, never once get off their ass to help, even when we're desperate. I want to be very clear that Garrett was sitting on his lawn chair watching the Stoner Dave game that we were playing. That we were in.
I was going to say, was that directed at me?
No, he says Frank, too. He's been there a bunch because Wanderers didn't play, but Frank showed up just a ref, which is always really cool.
So Frank, obviously, you know, playing in Breakfast Club, and then when he had heard that I wanted to play for you guys I was the ref at 10 for your game.
It's so funny, by the way, because
so Frank took over my
I know ref. Steph helped me out with getting subs this week because I've just been so fucking swamped with life. And she's like, oh, I got drinks. I was like, sweet. And they were like, and it was like, oh, so long as your game could get flipped. And I was like, all right, let me make sure it's cool. Garrett's like, yeah, it's already taken care of. It's done. So I was like, cool. And I put the official sub list thing in, sent it to Brent, whatever, it's approved. And then Garrett's looking for a ref at 10. I'm like, what? You motherfucker. Like, you said it was taken care of. Like, now that makes me feel like an ass. But also, obviously, you know, Frank stepped up. It was still really cool of him. So that was nice. Garrett also goes on to say, he goes, it reminds me to give Jeff Kroll some love, too. I know he usually gets his kudos, but it's usually him scrambling to find refs late, not me.
Yep.
So shout out to Jeff. And Jeff Kroll had winners, too, that I wanted to get into.
I'm just picturing Jeff Kroll's Friday night. You know what I mean? As like, nope, like, the sub list is done. Don't talk to me anymore. Well,
that's why it's like, at 3 o'clock. I was like, I talked to Brent, because I hate that it's at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I get
people
why.
Are working.
People are working, mm-hmm. and that's the hardest part, is, like, if I mess, like, Dorian, like we just said, I'm, you know, Steph messaged you to sub for us, mm-hmm. and we're waiting for you to respond. But what if you get really, really busy at work, and you, by the time you get back to us, it's 3:15? Like, oh, son of a bitch. Well, yeah, I was busy
or
at
5
work.
After work.
But I also understand that 8 p.m., nobody wants to be doing sub list shit either, but also that's why we have a sub list guy. Like, I get it when Jeff tries to do everything, but, like, Brent, too bad. You can do it at 7, or, like, at least, like, an hour after most people get out of work, 6 o'clock, something, it's still reasonable. I feel like that could change, but
no.
People have lives, they don't want to spend their Friday nights getting begged by everybody, please help me, blah, 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 you know, but also, you know, it is what it is. But Jeff's winners were Blitzkrieg for having the balls to play 3 games, George Lombardo and Frank for always stepping up when we need refs last minute. He goes, last minute referees this time, but they've done so much more for the league. So that's why I wanted to give that little shout out there too. So that's that. My winner of the week are the Raw Milkers. Like I said, it's always cool to see a new team. I'm 90% sure this is the team that was just a bunch of people who played in Breakfast Club, and now all of a sudden they're just like, let's be a team.
Yeah, and they don't look familiar to
They me. Took 4 weeks to figure it out, and now here they are with 2 big wins. That's really cool. So it's just good to see them catch fire as, you know, the season pretty much goes into the second half of it. So I think that's really cool. I like seeing new teams start to perform well, and I hope that they continue that. It'll be cool to see how the rest of their season and the other teams' seasons play out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for losers this time around?
I really don't. I was going to say, like, people who don't you know, stay at the bar and have some drinks. The usual thing that I get frustrated with. We had right. like a really good turnout this week, even though it was halfway crummy. Like there were a lot of people that stayed, and we were also making jokes though about like, remember the good old days where like we just all meshed, mm-hmm. and now it's like you see like this table has Clicks. This team, this table has that team, you know. So I'm like, get up, move, go to the other tables, everybody, go talk to
well,
everybody.
I think well, that's pretty much what it was. Like Lenny used to say that stuff. In the past, that's where we have our sunshine committee and like all that other jazz is to like mix and match and do all that stuff. And
I get drunk by 12 and then I forget I'm supposed to do stuff.
That's fine. It's on us for not reminding you have to do stuff. But I mean, just in general, that's like why Lenny always
says
that
stuff.
Just
gonna write it on your wrist. So every time you look down,
there was also way more bets back in the day between like teams in general, not just Breakfast Club. So I know that there was a lot of like, all right, well, we just went to war with each other. Now let's all go do shots at the bar because you owe us these shots and these buckets. And then that's how you start to talk more. And that we don't have as many like game bets. Maybe we should bring those back. That might help.
When do you do those? Like as you're walking onto the field? Like
yeah, I get, like when message, we're message when the captain now.
The flip, the coin flip.
You could do it that way. I think a lot of it happens usually like beforehand too. Though you can be like, all right, cool. Like on Friday, you can just text whoever you're playing and be like, hey, you guys want to put a bet on the game just for fun?
Yeah.
And like, oh, cool, definitely. And then, because we've had that before. I remember there was one time we played. When Johnny Football had the primetime players, and I'm pretty sure it was just when we first became Bullet Club, and he said they would win by like 40 or something. I think it was a bet he had with Lenny. Maybe it was with us, or Lenny was doing it in lieu of us, because I just let him do whatever the fuck he wanted.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it's insane, no to Lenny. And we beat them like 20-something to nothing. They didn't even score a point, so like, and to his credit, he bought the buckets or whatever, but it was still really fun to like have shit like that happen, you know, like motivate people to like play more. Not like you need more motivation, but it's still just that little oomph. So that kind of like goes out the window.
I went to Ellicottville after the games on you Saturday. Tim had to drive.
You don't say.
Yeah, shocker. But I got down there, and of course we, you know, went immediately to a bar because my kids wanted burgers. And I walk in, and there's Molly, Leslie, mm-hmm. Topper. You probably don't remember this, Mike Walker, John Georger. Like, yeah, I walk in and like the whole old crew is
it's like,
there.
Cheers, Dory!
Yeah, and everybody's like, ah! I was like, hey, I was just playing with Silvati. And mm-hmm. they're like, you still playing? It was really cool.
It was fun. I love Silvati.
But I told Topper, I said, Mike and I were talking about how it's weird staying at the bar afterwards without you there. And he's like, oh, I know, I miss it. And I was like, well, you know where we are. So come back every week.
Well, we'll get to it. George, your losers of the week.
I have a two-parter. One's a kind of a joke. Everyone has a life, and you're not at football anymore.
It's just running into the same
stuff. I'm on two teams right now that are sort of having attendance issues because people are growing up and having lives and realizing that, I mean, they just don't really have time for it anymore.
Make time for it.
Yeah, but the real losers are the team captains that can't just reach out to another team and be like, hey, what color do you wear?
Oh,
Jesus. I saw three games this week.
Black on black, blue on blue,
and black on black again. There was three teams. Just a simple text. That's all it is. Like, or just reach out and say, hey, do you know who wears what color?
White.
So Hottie's just basically said exactly that. Why can't people just bring fucking white shirts anymore? And I was like, theoretically, I tell all of my teams to just bring white. I know that we don't. Well, we have the backup red jerseys now, but for Bullet Club or whatever. But, I mean, when we do a tournament, when we do winter, our colors are black, but bring a white shirt just in case the other team wears, like, dark blue or some shit. So we'll just switch out. And people just don't, just put it in your bag and let it sit there. If you got to wear it, you got to wear it. Big deal if it gets like mud on it. Who the fuck cares?
When you think about it, just pick a team color that like nobody wears. Like, oh my God, Mavericks wore pink. No one wears pink.
Yeah.
Wear pink.
Well, now they, yeah.
Now they do, but they're in a different division.
Well, yeah. And the funny thing is I went to my bag to like try to find my keys or something. My dignity. I can't remember what I was looking for. And I was pulling. It's definitely not in the bottom
it's
of my
jacket. It's got cobwebs in somebody's lost their phone. Anyway.
I'm sure it's on a college dorm floor somewhere. Anyways, so I'm like pulling out all these jerseys. I've got a red one, a neon green, a neon orange, a black, a white, and then like I think a pink or something. And I pulled out all these jerseys and I was like, where the hell is my TMA jersey? And I don't know where it is. I've lost it. So I had to wear like some, I have a gray one and I wore that. But everybody's like, are these like all the teams you've played for? And I'm like, oh, yeah. This is only half.
My closet is filled with different jerseys. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah. But that's always bring all these different colors in case somebody asks me to sub, then I'm close enough. I've got a red.
My most infuriating reason for missing the Breakfast Club draft this year is because I didn't get to influence what color we wear because I'm trying to collect all of them and I'm really fucking close. Yeah. Like I have some of the colors that don't exist anymore, like the sky blue team that we had before. And
never
have
the charcoal gray.
Yeah, I have gray. I think I've had just about all of them at this point except for dark green maybe. Like we've been like somebody's like, oh, you're wearing orange this year, and I was like, I was like orange my first 2 years, but my first two Breakfast Clubs you weren't even in the league for. But that was when Ramir ran teams, so yeah. It's like wearing orange reminds me of that. But it's always like that's what I open. Like there's a drawer at my house where I open it, and it's just all these shirts, just like all of the just the Breakfast Club shirts alone. Not even talking about like the other fucking things we did, like. There's a sour grapes shirt that I made for a wine tournament. There's a Berica that we made, which is one of my fucking favorites. Just stupid shit like that on top of it.
I have my softball ones too.
Right? Oh, God. I love collecting those things.
I know. It's like you're collecting your youth and sitting it in a closet where it belongs.
In terms of my losers of the week, my first loser, that's why I told you, was Topper. I didn't know he was home. Because I know he's been hanging out in Florida for a while, and I knew he came.
He technically wasn't home. He was in Ellicottville.
Fuck you. But if anything, he's closer to my house.
He wasn't opening at Tim Hortons. That's what he wasn't doing.
Yeah, he wasn't opening 20 of Tim Hortons. But Topper, you're in the fucking area. Stop by, you ass. So like,
we love you.
Right, exactly. That's pretty much it. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are bummed that he's not playing in the league this session, but also... It's not because he doesn't want to. It's because he literally had to go to fucking Florida to do important business stuff. So he gets the pass on that. But now that he's home, he should be making the old appearance. And then my other one is Buddy Lee. Because apparently he threw a bad pass to TD Torrey, who might have hurt her knee.
I saw
Do you not read your own group chats? Oh, it's your fucking team.
Are you kidding? Do you have any idea how long these things get?
No, like I don't. I'm not in the Peter Lee group chat. But TD Torrey was hobbling around a bit and said Buddy threw a bad pass and she kind of tweaked something. I don't know if she's hurt. She says it feels weird. So I don't know what that'll come up. But either way, Buddy gets a loser of the week for hurting TD Torrey. As she continues the podcast curse. Anyway, final thoughts. We can do, you know, whatever the hell we want them to be. Doreen immediately ran to her phone. I'm sure to text Tori about her knee, which is really hilarious to me. But
I am texting her as we speak. I'm like, oh no.
Well, you got to give your final thought.
Okay, so my final thought was about Lenny and Ramir Day. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Yeah.
So it will be... We already know it. It'll be a beautiful day. It'll be really sunny.
Say we already know it, but didn't we have to fucking postpone it last year?
75 degrees. Listen.
We had to postpone it. Right, yeah.
But I'm like, I'm putting it out there in the universe now that it's going to be a beautiful day. And it's and whatever, even if it's not beautiful, like you fucking stay at the bar and you go into the bar. That back corner is amazing because it's got darts and big long tables and food. The food is so good at the Rose Garden.
Yeah,
now.
It's pretty good. I'll give you that.
I hate how good it is. So anyways, because yeah, I feel like this whole podcast has been about talking about teams and how they're more like families. And it's funny because I did have this conversation with Mike as well when we were talking about how, it's weird, like Topper's not here and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but I felt like 2-3 years ago, there was this one season where I showed up and I felt so out of place. Like I didn't know anybody, even though I was still on a team that I'd been playing on. It just felt off. There was new people on that one. There was new people everywhere. And then I just started subbing around like crazy, playing Breakfast Club, and now I know everybody. And even if I forget your name.
Selling your feminine wares everywhere.
Like, hey, dude. Hey, buddy. Hey, guy.
Buddy.
I still love everybody, though. It's been a lot of fun getting to know all the newer people coming in. It's a family.
It is weird, but it stands to reason that after a certain amount of time, there's going to be turnover in the league where, everybody that started there, there's not many of them left. Yeah. That's just because of
Hip surgeries.
Yeah, hip surgeries, life, fucking death, all the fucking, like, we've gone through the gamut of literally everything over the years. So it makes sense that people, like, they're going to filter out, and then we're going to get new people who step up and do stuff. But I mean, like, and there'll be people who come and go and people who stay for a while. Like, I mean, you can think of someone like Matty Ice, who came into the league like a wrecking ball, was awesome, you know, played for what, 5 years, 6 years, which sounds like a lot, but I guess in the grand scheme of things, it isn't. But I mean, like, he's already gone. Like, he's off to bigger, better things with his art stuff and getting married and like all that other jazz. And that's awesome. Deke. Deke.
Well, he just moved away. He would still be playing.
Well, Deke, yeah, exactly. Deke is still on an official TSL roster. Yes. I don't know if you knew that. But just like all that other stuff, it's just like, yeah, it's hard. Like, all of Public Enemy, for the most part. I mean, you saying that Cheryl's playing for the Girthquakes is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, having Cheryl be around is just going to be really cool, because I love Cheryl. I haven't seen her in forever. And just like, yeah, I don't know. It's just whatever. But also, there's new people who show up and new characters that stick around. And like Buddy Lee, somebody who shows up and is like, oh, he's around. Everybody kind of knows who he is now. Now he's on two teams. Like, how the hell did that fucking happen?
He's at Bobby's birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I'm talking about. So,
well, Bobby was at his birthday too.
And he's just one. And he's just one example. And I think that's part of the reason why Lenny started doing this podcast, besides that he wanted to be ridiculous and do Lenny shit, but is to get different people on so that they can be like known and do whatever we want. That's why Breakfast Club exists. So it's like, hey, like, what did we talk about this morning? Like, or this morning, but feels like it. But an hour ago, these two girls are fucking awesome, and I didn't know their fucking name before, but now they're like super cool people. So it's like, that happens a lot. And then the more that they hang out and you do stuff, and all of a sudden it's like they catch onto a team, and all of a sudden they're in, and now they're sticking around a little bit longer. And it just kind of builds back up. So like you said, yeah, three seasons ago, it was weird as fuck, right? Like, Topper basically gave the league over and didn't... He wasn't around because he had his own shit going on, and he was hurt, and he couldn't play. And if he can't throw, I understand him not wanting to be around it, because he can't play. He misses his friends, like, all that other shit. So, yeah, it's like a whole new world.
You're killing my final thought right now.
So... Anyway, make sure everybody enjoys their health. But, George, you're up.
Well, you just said it.
It's because I read it.
Enjoy your health. Oh, my God.
I didn't mean it that way.
Coming from, like, a household right now where M is done. She tore two ACLs in 5 years almost.
Ah, my dog did that, too.
She's now got a nursing career that she loves more than life itself. And she will no longer be playing anymore. And me with my crazy amount of injuries, this one's probably the one where I'm finally thinking, holy crap, like, how much longer can I do this?
How old are you?
34.
Cool. So you got at least 7 years left.
Yeah. Well, I'm out of work right now.
If you can't outplay me, then you're on.
The problem is,
you want to go play with sports cars? I got a job for you. I play up the league anyway.
Don't tell me. Listen, man. I'll give you my resume tomorrow.
If you can box cards faster than ever, let's do it.
Okay. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy your health. Like, realize that you can still do this. I know that, like, I'm on two teams where attendance suck, and like, sometimes it's a little hard because you're losing because your people that you know that can win games for you aren't there. But like, at the end of the day, you're still going out, you're still having fun. Like, when we had COVID, like, we couldn't get out of the house. Like, remember that when you couldn't do anything. Like, and we looked forward to Bobby and Eichhoff setting up these games that you're not supposed to be playing at a park where, hope to God, a cop doesn't show up and kick us out. So just think about, like, have fun. Like, I think that's sometimes people take the sport a little too seriously and it gets them pissed off for, like, a week. And they're like, I can't believe we lost last week. Well, who cares? You're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not a lot of people out right there outside around our ages doing this stuff anymore. They wake up, they go to work, they go home. And, like, they have lives. They have kids. They have Tim Hortons open in Florida where they can't, like, be here anymore. Like, just enjoy it while you can.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm down with that. I guess I don't have a final thought, which is stupid. But, we kind of touched on, like, the important shit. Because I was thinking about Lenny and Ramirez, David. I'm like, that should be, like, a next week thing to hype everybody up for what's coming.
Yeah.
But, like, it's good that we get started because...
Jeff Crow, if
you're listening, fucking tell us what you have, like, planned for it. I assume it's the same amount of, like, bananas stuff that we usually have, a slip and slide, a dunk
tank. Bring the doggies back.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's on me. I didn't talk to the animal shelter.
Bring the dogs back.
Well, maybe we can, I'll send Erin a text and see if she'll bring the pup van. That'd be really cool. But I'm sure it's much too late for that.
I might actually leave with a dog this time.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. So, I know the league's different, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just a different thing, and different isn't always terrible.
But I could have left, you know, like a couple seasons or years ago when it felt different for me, and I still stuck it out because I'm like, no, this is like my thing, my Saturday thing. Like, so you were saying stuff about, you know, well, people are getting lives, and I don't want to take away from the fact that people who like don't have kids means they don't have a life, or if they're not married, they don't have a life. Everybody's got, yeah, different things that they prioritize, but on Saturday in Ellicottville, when we saw that whole crew, we were sitting down to eat, and my husband said to me, I said something like, sorry, I'm a little bit later than normal. And he goes, anytime you text me leaving soon from the Rose Garden, I know it's going to be two more hours.
I love him so much.
I know. He's so great.
He needs to write a book that is like the TSL spouse's guide to the TSL. And I think it'd be fucking amazing, and we'd all just read it and just go, no, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, yeah, if you're a single person in the league, you can take this book, and as soon as you get in a relationship, just hand it to the person that you're
I met my fiance through TSL people.
Right. I honestly had, you know, boyfriends, whatever, before my husband, but it was literally, it sounds so stupid to say it out loud, but this is truth. The minute that he was like, do you want me to like come to your games? Yeah. And I was like, no, you don't have to. And then he would go to like one game, and then he was like, do I have to keep doing this? And I was like, you don't have to do anything. I just thought you wanted to, yeah. Because every other boyfriend was like, what are you doing there? What's going on? How come I can't come? Blah, blah, blah. So this was the first guy who was like, I just feel like this is your world and you should just have this. And so when it was Saturday night and we were sitting there having dinner, he actually said something about, like, I know it's going to be 2 hours later that you'll show up. But he goes, look, Saturdays, that's your thing. I signed up for that 20 years ago.
I'm not here to fuck with that.
Our first date, I was late because I forgot that I had a date planned, and I was in a fucking Texas Hold'em tournament in the back room of the Rose Garden. And he was like, I'll see you in an hour. And I went, oh, fuck. And so, like, I'm, like, grabbing my winnings and running out the door. And they're like, where are you going? I forgot I had a date.
What's wrong? Why don't we put our clothes back on?
It was so weird, right? They weren't used to doing it that early. And yeah. So I ran home. I had a shower beer because I had to keep the buzz going. And then I get to this date, and this guy's like, I have to ask a question. Are you drunk?
Conversely, like, you should write a book too. A
little bit. Yeah. So I'm just saying that you can make this a priority and still have your life outside of it too.
You're not wrong. Yeah, so that's my final thought brought to you by Doreen. jokes aside, that's just pretty much it. I don't know. We're at the point where, like, the season's winding down. Not winding down. There's still a month left, but as soon as it hits, like, June, it's like, oh, boy.
Only a few more weeks.
Right, but now like I said, we have Lenny Ramirez Day coming up, and then the fun is the playoffs, and then not too long after that should be a wine tournament in there, and then before you know it, summer will be.
We could throw a TSL banquet at Lasertron. I could put it together if you want.
George could put together the actual Lasertron. Well, not right now because his arms are shattered or whatever. All right, we've rambled enough. We're literally at an hour and a half. Lenny would have an aneurysm right now if he were here. So thank you, everybody, for listening. The last part of my final thought was just a shout-out to everybody who responded to me when I was looking for guests. Everybody basically said, I really want to do it, but... And it's somebody got sick of work, or they had softball, or they had volleyball, or they had already had haircut appointments and, like, all this other jazz. So,
Latino.
Yeah, hey, but hey, put me on. Can I be on next week? Can I be on in a couple weeks? Like, make sure I'm on before the season ends. So we shouldn't have a problem getting guests, but somehow it feels like we might. But that's okay. If you're listening to this and you want to be on the show and you've made it this far, you're more than welcome to be on. Just send an email to Jeff Kroll at TSL716.com, and he'll eventually pass it on to me. Like I said, Blue Ballers, I know you want to be on it, so maybe we'll set that up for next week. We'll have Tino and the Blue Ballers, but... Who knows how it'll go. With that, again, thank you, George, for coming in and last minute. I appreciate you, my guys. Doreen, thank you for hosting and doing all the things that you do. I do appreciate you. And that's pretty much it. I won't see you guys at the fields, but have a great time. I'm sure it'll be raining, but that's not anybody's fault, I swear. Okay, bye.
Bye.